Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this week we have Martha. Martha, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, and thank you for having me. My name is Martha Glory Kartawi, and well, there's a whole list of ways to answer this question, but I'm a best-selling author, Amazon best-selling author, international best-selling author. I am a public speaker. I'm a trauma coach. I do a lot of different things. I'm also a therapeutic massage therapist, and so I've dabbled in a lot of things, but my mission and passion is to walk alongside battle angels or people that have survived trauma in taking their next step in healing, whatever that means. That is my vision. That is my mission. That is my passion. About 14 years ago, I made the decision to step into my own healing journey, and that has been arduous. That has been challenging, but it's also been the best work that I've ever done because it was on me. And I really had to get back to the core of who I was, who God says I am, and then everything else can grow from there. So I've been on that journey for the last 14 years, and it's been about the last 2 years where God says, okay, time to step it up, time to move into this next season. It's time for you to start sharing with others what you've learned, what you've experienced, share your testimony. It's time to put yourself out there and let me use you in a different way. And so stepping into that faith walk is not without its own challenges, and understanding that the full surrender is sometimes really scary, really uncomfortable, and really disruptive to the comfort zone that so many of us live in, right? And
yes.
Can I get a hallelujah? Amen.
A hallelujah, girl. Amen, girl. It's a journey, girl.
It is. But what I have learned that it's in that uncomfortable, it's in that season of trusting and in faith and in that surrender and doing it anyway, doing it scared, doing it afraid, doing it stepping out of that comfort zone and doing it anyway, that God goes, okay, I can trust you with more. And that's a season that I'm in now, is that I didn't see all of this that I'm getting to do and that I have the privilege of doing and sharing and being part of, but God did. And so I've just learned to just, okay, keep putting one foot in front of the other and trusting that the journey will unfold, and just knowing that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be in this exact moment, and that all of the things that I have survived over the last 46 years have all built the foundation of what I'm standing on now and what I am heading into. The healing journey has been a huge part of that, of course, because We can't stand on the foundation of the things that have happened to us and still until we work through them, until we stop being in survival mode and we step into healing mode. And so I'm on a healing journey for the rest of my life because I don't believe, and some people argue with this, but I don't believe that there's ever a time where we get to go, heal, guys, I am healed. I don't ever have to revisit. No, for me, this is a journey that I have to take every day because every day I still have to resurrender. There's things that I thought I forgave and moved past that suddenly I'm triggered by in a moment or in a thought or in a, the actions of somebody else that I go, okay, there's still a sting there. There's still work to be done. There's still healing that needs to happen. And I need to take a step back and reevaluate and re-heal through that or re-forgive through that or whatever it is that is creating an emotion, a feeling, and that requires that action. And when you're on a healing journey, it doesn't mean that life's not going to be lifing, that life's not going to happen, that you're not going to create or be part of more trauma, right? So in this last 14 years, I've experienced my share of even more trauma after the initial trauma of the first 26 years of my life, where I was born and raised in a religious cult, where I was physically, emotionally, sexually, spiritually, verbally abused severely in those first 26 years. And then on this 14 years of my healing journey, I have experienced divorce. I've experienced miscarriage. I've experienced corporate burnout. I've experienced a lot of things that could be labeled trauma, right? That I've had to work through. So my initial traumas I've been working through consistently, but life's still life. Life still happens. And then you have to work through, heal through. But now the difference now is I have the tools. I have tools to say, okay, I'm going through a rough patch. This is hard. This is okay. But I have the tools to support myself. I have the tools. I have the vulnerability to be able to ask for help. And I understand that that is not a weakness. That is actually a superpower. And I'm able to say, no, like I don't have to do this alone. I don't have to search out for the magic cure. I know where the magic cure is. It's in here and it's up there. I have to just be able to use those tools to continue to move through and to be able to process whatever it is that's happening. So that's a lot, I know, but that's a nutshell for me.
I thank you for that. Could you go into a little bit more detail about certain things that you've been through and survived? Because I think it's very interesting. I think one of the things that has come up with me transitioning into this space is having discussions with people who don't actually recognize that they've been traumatized. And a lot of people think of, sexual assault, or like the really big T traumas that we hear about.
Yeah.
And I love sharing stories because I feel like, number one, we create community through sharing our stories, but it also helps other people to self-identify with the fact that, hey, maybe
Yeah.
I've been
Yeah.
traumatized too. And it's not to glorify trauma
Right.
in that sense, but
Yeah.
one of the things that I talk about on this podcast is I believe there are three phases to accident survival mode. And the first one is self-awareness. If we are not aware of the things that are going on, we cannot change them.
That is such a good point. And I get this all the time when I speak on a stage. Somebody will come up to me and be like, I am so grateful that you shared your story, but I haven't been through that kind of trauma. I only went through this. And what I always explain to them, first of all, I'm like, stop. That is trauma. And this is why it is trauma. So our nervous system doesn't know if we have been beaten within inches of our lives, like I have, or if our parents got divorced. Our nervous system, trauma is trauma. It does not know the difference. Fight or flight, survival mode, doesn't know the difference, right? So trauma is trauma. So negating that, oh, yours isn't as bad as mine, or mine's not as bad as yours, is pointless, fruitless, and waste of energy, right? Trauma is trauma, whether it's big T, little T, middle T, or no T. Trauma, pain is pain. Trauma is trauma. And our nervous system does not know the difference. And so, whatever it is that has brought us to this place of survival mode and of fight or flight, right? Of we're just existing, we're not living, we're not able to live fully or thrive or whatever it is, purpose, passion, all of the things, right? Whatever it is that has gotten us to this space, that's our trauma. That's our pain.
Absolutely. It's someone recently said to me that trauma was anything that changes the way that you look at the world and
For yourself,
or
for yourself.
yourself, exactly. And having such a simplistic version, I think, makes it a lot easier for people to recognize that they have indeed been traumatized. And one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because I don't think we have enough conversations about the residual impact, right? We often talk about the story. This is what caused my trauma. We don't talk about, okay, well, 6 months later, this is how I'm still dealing with it, or how I recognized that I was still dealing with it. Because, like, even with myself, there were things that were showing up in my everyday that I actually didn't recognize was a trauma response. Can you elaborate on maybe some of the trauma responses that you had? How things showed up for you to then recognize, you know what, I need to go on this healing journey. You know?
So this is a multifaceted question and it's a brilliant question. I'm going to talk about it in two different ways. So for me, my trauma, once I escaped the cult at age 26, where I had, like I said, I had experienced so many different kinds of trauma, severe trauma. I went into complete survival mode. I was like, I'm leaving the cult in the past. I'm never going to think about it again. I'm burying it deep under the rocks of the, like I'm chaining it to the ocean and I'm walking away and starting a new life. And nobody's ever going to know about that part of my life. Our nervous system, our physical body, our immune system, none of that got along with what I was telling myself, right? It was like, okay, let's see how this unfolds, right? And it was probably 6 months to a year before I started having physical body things that were started to happen. So I was starting to manifest my trauma in my physical body. And what I mean by that, the migraine started, the neck pain started, the back pain, the gastrointestinal stuff started. I started having lack of focus. I started having not suicidal tendencies, but more of like self deprecating self-harm, like just God kill me, take me out of this misery. I started having those types of thoughts and I'm like, what is, I'm finally free. Why is this happening now? But it's your trauma response. It's your body trying to get your attention that says, we have to deal with that. We cannot move through that and move past that until we deal with that, right? Well, of course I ignored it. So guess what? It started getting worse. And eventually, I get to a point where I'm about 4 years out of the cult, and my physical body is literally breaking down. And so I do what everybody in Western medicine does. I start going from doctor to doctor and to doctor, and all I get is a list of diagnoses. You have PTSD, you have complex PTSD, you have cognitive impairment, you have migraines, back pain, gastrointestinal, all I got was a fibromyalgia, like list of all the things that were wrong with me. Not a single provider, a specialist of any kind said, your trauma is your problem. You have not dealt with your trauma. Nobody said that. And how I finally came and made that connection is I'm a therapeutic massage therapist and I was in a continuing education class. And it was a somatics release class. And the teacher made one comment that changed the trajectory of my life, and that was that trauma is stored on a cellular level in your body. And I was like, what? I'm sorry, huh? Nope. Like nobody had ever said this. I am early 30s, and nope, I've never heard this from any professional, from any specialist ever. And this is what opened up this like aha of I've got to go inward. I've got to go back where it started. I have to heal that. And that's what really started my healing journey.
It's very interesting that you say you went from doctor to doctor. No one's recognizing that this is trauma. And it's interesting because, again, down to this awareness and not necessarily self-awareness here, but most of us don't recognize that trauma lives in our body. Most of us think that what's going on with our body is just.
Happenstance.
It's just, yeah, it's just happening. We don't, because we don't talk about this, how trauma manifests, also because, the industry itself is big pharma is not about getting to the core of the problem, right? It's about treating the symptoms and not necessarily drawing a line, like the parallel line between the symptoms that we're having, right? Like, yes, I'm having migraines. Yes, I'm having. colonic problems. No, they can't be connected, but everything in our body is connected, right? Like
100%.
our blood flows through every inch of our body. So why wouldn't our ailments be connected?
I say this all the time, that there was no pill that anybody could offer me that would fix my trauma, right? There was no pill for that. But everybody wanted me to give me a pill to fix whatever the symptom was. It was not going to address the problem. It was going to be a band-aid. It was going to numb me. It was going to whatever, but none of that was going to fix the problem. And I'm not sure why I understood that even before I understood that it was all stored in a cellular level. But I knew that pill that they were telling me I needed to take for whatever reason, I knew that pill wasn't going to fix whatever this was that was happening. And so I wasn't brought up on medicine. We weren't allowed to take medication. And so I was a little bit hesitant. And I knew that a lot of times when you're going through things, I had three brothers that were on heroin because of numbing their own pain. And so I was scared to death to take a road that would lead me to numbing, that would lead me to what they were doing, right? Because I recognized it without understanding what it was. I trusted, I know now that it was God and my intuition, and right, that I understood those things, but I saw everything that I didn't want to be or become. And so coming to that place where I was like, there's not a pill that's going to fix this. I got to go in. And that's some hard work, but it was worth it. And it took a long time to unravel 26 years, and then you have to unravel also the running for an additional 6 years. Like, you have to unravel all of those things layer by layer, like an onion, to really heal those things, address those things, and move through those things and release them.
Well, I think that takes us back to just a really an early statement about there it you aren't healed. Right? Like healing is a journey. Healing is every level that you get to, you are exposed to new triggers. You are having to navigate the work that you've done alongside life, right? And it's going with and dealing with all of that dark stuff, but when you are moving upwards, you're now exposed to a new element of life. It's kind of like exercise, right? Like you all of a sudden recognize that, yes, I have hundreds of muscles in my body. I start exercising it and I'm feeling muscles that I didn't know I had. And it's the same thing with healing. You start the healing process and you may work on that. Maybe it's the initial trauma that you're working on, right? Then you recognize, wait a minute, like the level of my trauma is compounded. And as I start working on one thing, I'm releasing, I'm learning something new. I'm then introduced to a new stimuli that I now have to apply the tools that I've learned. But oftentimes that kind of opens another door. You're introduced to something that you weren't aware of, and then starting to navigate that. But what I loved about what you said is that vulnerability piece. I think particularly with women, we have a very hard time being vulnerable after trauma. Especially compounded trauma. Like, how do I let my walls down? How do I let my guard down? Because we learn to protect ourselves because of the experiences that we've had. And being vulnerable, exposing ourselves again is the scariest, hardest thing. I think it takes a lot of humility because it's learning something new again.
And trusting the process, right? Like when I realized that vulnerability was actually a superpower and not a weakness, because just like you said, right? If I could make it through all the things that I had made it through with my trauma, like how am I going to be weak in this moment when I should be happily married and I should be experiencing the best parts of my life, but I'm falling apart, right? And when I understood that, no, this is actually my body, mind, and spirit saying, we got to take care of that. And we've got to be able to humble ourselves enough to say, I need help. I can't do this alone. This is not this, you know, this journey can be very daunting and can be very scary. And there's so many layers, like you talk about, right? And like we talk about, there's so many layers. But understanding that you have to become honest with yourself before you can become honest with anybody else. And so being honest with myself about my own trauma was really difficult. It seems counterintuitive because you're like, you already survived it, Martha. Like, what, why would that be hard to address again? Because I was in fight or flight for 26 years. And then I boxed it away and threw away the key. Yeah.
That compartmentalization, it happens. Our body does it. Our brain does it to protect ourselves, right? It compartmentalizes. We cannot process everything that we've been through 100% of the time every day. But what happens with the compartmentalization is that if we aren't actively working on that, it becomes this dust bunny under the rug. And it just grows and grows. And then all the only option you have is falling because it's impossible to climb over. It's impossible to
Crashing,
navigate
imploding.
around. Yes.
And then that's what eventually gets your attention, right? And then so often we run to pharma to numb that because we're like, we don't have time to deal with this right now. And we what you realize eventually is, okay, this is going to chase me until I address it. This is going to be like the big black shadow that follows me everywhere I go, and I'm chained to it until I set it free. And in order to set it free, you have to look it in the face and you have to address it, and then you have to forgive it, and then you have to move through it, right? And that is a scary process, but you don't get to healing if you don't go through that.
Absolutely. So, can you tell us a little bit more about what your journey has looked like? Like, given examples of maybe modalities that you've used in order to deal with your compounded long-term trauma.
Yes. So nervous system regulation is the number one, like, of importance, like, that you have to understand that your nervous system is jacked when you've been through the kinds of trauma that I have or you have, or any, you know, trauma jacks up our nervous system. And so I did many different alternative modalities or naturopathic modalities in order to get in touch with my nervous system. And also my emotional intelligence, right? Like I was still stuck in a childlike mentality because I didn't have the tools to navigate this adult world. And so I had to address all of that. And I did it through cognitive therapy. I did it through EMDR. I did it through neurofeedback. I did it through biofeedback, cranial sacral therapy, hypnotherapy. I got out of the Western medicine system and I said, I'm not going to find my answers there. I have to go naturopathic. I have to go in and do the work, the internal work. So I did a lot of inner child work. I did a lot of, and what we don't understand is that our nervous system gets stuck where our first trauma began. And so we cannot like rev the engine and just spin the tires and get out of that stuck until we address it. So I had to go back to that inner child, to that little 7-year-old girl, and I had to heal her in order to heal the 30 plus some age that I was at that time, right? And so, yeah, I went the naturopathic route, and I'm grateful that I did. I learned so many tools that I now get to teach others. I've also done a lot of life coaching and understanding and meeting myself where I'm at and understanding what that meant for me, because my healing journey looks very different than somebody else's, and that's okay. We all resonate with different things. I'm very in tune with energy, with the universal energy, with God. I'm very in tune with that in my intuition. Other people's aren't as tuned into that. So there's certain modalities that wouldn't work for them, like Reiki. Like Reiki has been a healing modality for me. Yeah, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And I loved how you listed out, because I think, again, going back to that Western way of dealing with things, right? It's talk therapy seems to be like the key for everything. What also I've learned and seen and experienced myself is going to talk therapy with people who aren't trauma informed. You can't help me. You can't help me. And so a lot of times people hang their hats on talk therapy without the recognition that there are so many other ways in order to start the healing process. But what I loved about what you highlighted is it's not one cookie cutter way. Not one size does not fit all, and it
No.
takes a multitude of different options to
Yeah.
help us move forward. You mentioned how we get stuck at the level of our first trauma. So if we aren't tapping into that inner child work, if we aren't going back and revisiting, it's not to say that we aren't healing.
Right.
However, we will eventually get stalled because there's so much work that needs to be done. And I resonate with you with being in survival mode for 20 plus years and not recognizing that, not knowing that this is a state of mind. Like I left a relationship that almost killed me, thinking my life is just gonna snap back to normal. And it didn't, right? And so it's easy to dismiss the importance of taking it back and healing and revisiting and reopening sometimes those things that we have very comfortably packed away. But it's so important in making sure that we liberate ourselves beyond the trauma that we've experienced.
Absolutely. In line with that, the necessity to heal is so that we don't pass it on. If we do not heal, and this is becoming so, I mean, I'm 46 years old, so this is becoming so important in my own family dynamic. All of my family was in the same cult, and I have 9 brothers and sisters, and everybody is doing life differently, and everybody is on a different healing journey, and some haven't started their healing journey at all and are still in fight or flight and survival mode and trying to make the best of it, right? But what I'm learning and I'm seeing with my nieces and my nephews and all of the different is that we take our trauma, our childhood trauma, into our adulthood. And then we do things with our children that may not serve them. And we pass on that generational curse. And sometimes we recognize it and we go, oh, I don't want to keep doing that. That is not going to serve them as adults, right? And sometimes it's so comfortable because it's all we know that okay, right? And now we've passed it on to the next generation that has to deal with that as well. So for me, understanding the necessity to heal my own so that my ripple effect is positive rather than the generational curse has been the reason, one of the biggest reasons of why I have committed myself to this work. And committed myself to passing on the ripple effect of positivity and healing and growth versus the generational curse that I could have been taken on instead. So.
Yeah, it's so important. Trauma can be passed on up to 8 generations. And if we aren't working on actively healing that, we're just throwing it into the next generation for them to deal with. Martha, I have really enjoyed this conversation. Tell us how we can connect with you online.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on all the social medias on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. You can find me there, or you can also join my community for free or buy into one of the membership programs and see more of what I'm doing at www.trauma-x.org. That is my mission and vision platform. But yeah, all the information I'm sure will be in the notes.
They will definitely be. So before we wrap it up, one last key takeaway for the listeners.
You are not your trauma. It does not have to define you, but it is a choice whether you decide to heal from it. It is a choice.
Healing is a choice, you guys. And the reason why we're here is to help you make a good decision about your trauma. It doesn't have to be who you are for the rest of your life. Thank you so much for joining us on Survival Mode Disrupted, Martha. Thank you for catching another episode, listeners. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.